Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Come about and try to destroy you. But if you stay the course, I promise you that things will change. And what it's saying is, if you're diligent, if you keep on putting in this work, you're going to reap the reward. Things in our lives, we feel like it when we going through our situations and we feel like we are the one that's being cast out. We feel like the ugly duckling. We feel like that people are just giving up on us. But the wise man told me last night to stay the course. This verse is so powerful because it tells you that even when you feel like you're not given the proper respect, the proper honor, the proper due, if you just stay the course, God will get the glory out of the whole thing. Now, this verse speaks to my heart. You know, oftentimes I felt like that I've done a lot of things, and I've done a lot of things for people, and it still hasn't showed for man. But if you think about it, whatever you do for man, and whatever reward that they give you, that's all you can get. I used to cut a buddy's grass of mine for free, and my people couldn't understand it. They said, "Why are you doing this for free? You're doing this for free?" I said, "After that man give me that $20, and that $20 is gone, I can't go back to the man and say I need 20 more dollars." But see, with the favor of Christ, once you stop to do the thing for Christ, your favor will last forever. Mm-hmm. I get you to chime in on that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm right about that verse right there. I mean, everything on earth shall pass away, and can't take nothing with you when you go. You come in the same way that you go, and like you said, once you cut that grass, you can't go back and get that at all. Because what happens is, over time, you do realize that you have to go out there and work again, but it's only for a certain time. And I think that's what we gotta focus. Sometimes, like me and you was talking, sometimes you have to focus on the spiritual and not so much the physical, because so much is going on in the spiritual. If you get caught up in the physical, what's going on with everything else here, you get sidetracked and lose your focus on the main goal.
Do we have any other men on the line?
I got one more caller, 7348.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
One of the things that I like about verse 2, when it speaks to a prudent servant, it says a prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the family. I think it's important to note that when you talk about the inheritance of a disgraceful son, like back in those days when you had kings and the house of the kings, so you're talking about a prince, and the thing of it is, a servant was just somebody who really didn't deserve any of the inheritance of the family because they weren't from that lineage. But here the word of God is telling us that if you are a faithful servant, that you will share in the inheritance, and God will bless you because the disgraceful son, being somebody who has right to the inheritance, if they're disgraced to their parents, God will elevate you to a place of position and give you the stuff that they were entitled to.
Amen. Verse 12 says, a rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes than the fool. We went to the church went to the Black Soul Wax Museum yesterday. And one of the exhibits that we went into was the slave ship. And then we visited the slave exhibit, and one thing that they showed a man that they beat him so bad that his back began to crack open. What this verse is saying is that a rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes to a fool. So it's no matter how hard you try to get a fool to understand something, just understanding that a fool is just a fool, and that's all that it is, and that's all that they ever will be. So it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter the things that you do, the to the extremity that you do it to. A fool is a fool. A fool will sit here, and he knows that if he crosses this street and his cars come, he's going to get hit. But a fool just going to walk out there and does whatever a fool wants to do. It even goes down to verse 12 when it says, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool bent on folly. It speaks to the fact that the extremity, how a fool is going to be. It's better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs. And the bear that robbed of her cubs, she's not in the best mood. The bear that robbed her cubs is robbed of her cubs. She's on the attack. She is hurt. Well, she was robbed of her children. So what God is saying is that it's better to meet that bear to be a fool. God is trying to show us in these Proverbs that being a fool is something that he looks down upon. Being a fool is something that is going to deter you from the promises that he has for you. Being the fool, because you like to open your mouth before you evaluate the situation, will get you in trouble that you can't, sometimes you ain't going to be able to get yourself out of. So many times we go through situations, but if you be honest with yourself, most of the situations that we go through are self-inflicted, because we ignore the signs that God is showing us, and we just go to what makes us feel good, what makes us look good, what makes us feel good physically. But God is telling us that it is better for you to meet a pair that has robbed of her cups. If you put it in a human way, you ever I've known a lot of females that have had miscarriages, and it rocked them to the core, because they felt like something was took out of them. So in the case of that, we have to understand that with all of that sorrow, with all of that hurt, God is telling you it's better to meet somebody like that, even compared to a bear, than a fool bent on folly. Because a fool is going to be a fool. What do you think about that, Andrew?
Yeah.
It reminds me of a time when I was younger and I was in school, and then, you know, you act up all the time, be a class clown and everything, you know. And the thing was that my parents would be like, you know, like, if you want to act like a fool, treat you like a fool, you get the punishment, you know. You weren't thinking about it when it happened, but, you know, it reminded me that after the fact, you realize, and you got to make the choice not to be a fool, and, you know, that once you realize that, then you come back to it, and you're like, okay, cool. I made that decision on my own, you know, and these are the consequences for it. And looking back on it, it built me up to where I had to realize that, you know, I had to make that choice not to be a fool anymore, you know, as I got older. And after so many times of getting whooped, you realize that, you know, that's not the right way to go.
Man, we have to understand that, it's good to be wise. You understand? And it's when you're a fool, God tells us all the time that the fool will be destroyed. The fool, and what's funny is, a fool will destroy himself because of things that he does. Oftentimes, you know, we know people that put themselves in situations that we just say, man, why do you keep putting yourself in this situation? But because they're so foolish in the lack of God, that they can't even see their own ways. A lot of people like to say, I'm going to come to church when I get myself together, when I get these things straight, when I do this, when I do that, and I do this. You can't get yourself together. You can't get yourself right to come to church. And so many of those people perish. And when they perish, they're destined for hell because they haven't yielded their lives to Christ. A fool says there's no God. That's what a fool say. And a fool stands behind what they say. Some people we know, we say, man, we know they talking junk. And how they don't know they talking junk? They know what they talking about. It speaks to the fact of that when we get in the wisdom of God, that's when we get some good understanding. When we start to fear the Lord, that's when the good understanding and the knowledge comes. So understanding that we ourselves, as a wise man told me last night, we are filthy rags. We are filthy rags. So we have to have God to come in our lives to make us whole, to make us new, to make a new thing. Verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born at a time of adversity. Excuse me. So God, this scripture is telling me that God will raise up the certain people in your life that will be here in your time of need. A wise man again told me last night that it's not about He said, family ain't always blood. And what he meant by that was that the people that you are that's supposed to say they love you, the people that are supposed to be your family, they're the first ones that are going to tear you down. They're the first ones that are going to count you out. They're the first ones who are going to say the nasty and the wrong things about you. Understanding that the enemy knows that we don't care about outside people, and that's why when he attacks, he tries to get in your circle. He tries to break that circle up because he understands that we value the opinions of our family. We value the opinions of the very same people that are hurting us. We value those opinions. God will raise up the necessary people to fill whatever void that you're looking for. Oftentimes, we need somebody on this walk to help us, because this walk isn't easy. This walk is very hard. We need somebody to understand what we're talking about. We need somebody to understand what we're going through. We need somebody to understand that I'm weak, brother, and I don't need no physical help. But what I need you to do is get on your knees and pray. Cover me in my time of need. Cover me when I can't seem to cover myself. Cover me when I don't have the will and have the willingness to pray. Pray for me when I can't pray for myself. God will raise up the right people in your life, whatever that you're lacking. And the wise man told me, once again, just to stay the course. Things in our lives don't always play out the way that we want it to be. But as I'm reminded of the wise man again, he told me that we all have a hand that we were dealt. And in the game of Uno, sometimes you don't always have the draw twos and the draw fours and the skips and the reverses. Sometimes you just have the red ones and the red twos and just the numbers. But somehow we have to take that hand that we have and be able to win the game. The hand that we were chosen, we didn't choose it. The hand that we were dealt, this one came off the deck. But we have to be able to play the hand that we were given. Anthony?
Well, as you was going on there, you was in that. But I feel like it reminded me of a couple of the things. First off, you know, remind me of Cain and Abel. You know, your brother, he was born of him, and he got jealous after what he was bringing to God, and then, you know, he took his life. And like you said, certain people in your family might bring you down just to see you, you know, get down, make themselves feel better. Another situation is the story of Joseph in A Coat of Many Colors. You know, his brothers sold him into slavery, left him in a hole. And, you know, at the end of that, he came out on top, and his brothers needed him. And, you know, I feel like if you trust in God, you know, he'll always bring you out to the top.
Can I get Reverend Grimes to chime in on the situation?
Yeah, you know, when I look at how, you know, the word says a brother is born for adversity, I'm reminded of David and Jonathan. And when Saul was seeking out David to kill him, it was Saul's son Jonathan, who was David's best friend, who came and warned him in the midst of adversity. He came out and he looked for David. He told him, man, you got to hide, you got to run. But he also recognized and was able to speak a word into the life of David, and he told David, now here's the thing, I want you to hear this, fellas. David was supposed to be and was anointed to be the next king, but by the order of succession, because Saul was the current king and Jonathan was his son, in that time, Jonathan, by right, should have been the next king. But Jonathan wasn't tripping, because he knew that God's plan was for David to be the next king. And then if you look at the word, and Jonathan tells David, he says, look, you are the next king, and I'm cool with that. But when you get to your kingdom, I just want to be beside you. And so when the word says a brother is born for adversity, there are going to be times in our life where we're going to go through, where we're going to have that wilderness experience, where people are going to try to take our life, where the enemy is on the attack, because we are destined for greatness. And so the enemy's trying to stop us from getting to that place where God has for us to be. And so God will raise up some people who will make provision. God will make up some people who will pour into us, and God will raise up some people who will remind us of the vision and the purpose that God has in our life.
Hey man, this is a real powerful scripture right here. It, you know, God knows what we need. God knows when we need it. Sometimes if we got things too a little bit too early, I think that we would mess it up. We would push it away. God knows what He's doing. God puts certain people in our lives to fill that void that we were having. God puts people in our lives to help us walk this walk, to build us up when we're down, to hold us up when we're going through. For somebody to pray for us when you just can't seem to find the words to pray. We are especially this speaks to the fact of this first word. God is raising up people to get on this line, raising up men of God to get on this line and share the word with each other. The wise man also told me that, you know, iron sharpens iron. So it's important for us to get on the line and get this word and get it fresh. And it's time for us to stop playing with the word. It's time for us to stop being scared of what people are going to say about us because we love God. People didn't bring us out of the pit of hell. God brought us out. And so we should not be ashamed of God, because He's the one that brought us out. Brother Anthony, is there any verses that stick out to you?
Well, I mean, the only verses that really, other than the ones that you had there, was number 22, that says, you know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Basically, what I think that means, you know, is that certain people, you know, certain people like we're doing now, you know, have a good heart. And, you know, if I come to you or come to Reverend Grimes, you know, with a situation, you know, you guys sometimes find out the right words to say, you know, to bring that person up. And, you know, as it says, you know, a broken spirit drives the bones. You know, sometimes you be going through certain situations that, you know, really hurt you deep down inside, and, you know, dealing with different things in your life that you might be going through. You know, you hit up somebody that's like your brothers, like in the last verse, you saw my, your brothers always help you out. You know, some people you just got to go to, you know, vent, and like you said, find a wise person or a wise man and give you some advice, some life lessons that might be able to help you in the long run, like we're doing now.
Amen. Amen. It says a cheerful heart is good medicine.
Cheerful heart is good medicine. Oftentimes, you know, they say the best medicine is laughter. Sometimes the doctor can't describe the medicine for happiness. Sometimes we have to get into a place where something, whatever it takes, a cheerful heart. Just sometimes, you know, just coming in a room of positive people lifts your spirit. Sometimes we go through, and it says a cheerful heart is good medicine. It's the good medicine, and we have to get to a place where we are cheerful, but it says a broken spirit drives the bones. When your spirit is broken, conversation I was having last night, you know, a wise man said when his spirit was broken, he didn't want to come to church. When my spirit was broken, I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want nobody preaching to me. I didn't want to preach to nobody. But that's the broken spirit. But a cheerful heart gets you through all of those situations. Reverend Grimes, can I get you to chime in on this verse? Times we go through these situations for God make us a better person.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can y'all hear me? Yeah, it's easy to lift up God when everything is good around us. You know, and so the thing of it is, when it says a cheerful heart is good medicine, if I'm convinced that if we can every day think about the goodness of God, that will cause us to have a cheerful heart, because that's what you need to be able to press on. But a crushed spirit, when I hear the word crushed, I hear broken, defeated. It dries up the bones. And so it is imperative for us, especially as believers, to every day get that good medicine.
because that's what we're going to need to be able to go about this daily journey. We can't do it on our own. And when your heart is burdened down, when your heart is heavy, that's when the enemy is able to speak negative things into your mind, and you're at a place where you're more willing to listen because you're broken, because you're crushed. And so now he begin to feed these negative things into your spirit, and when you're susceptible, but a cheerful heart will help you to keep your mind stayed on God.
Amen, amen. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful proverb, powerful conversation this morning. It says in verse 25, it says, "The foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." Times we get into situations where we get into something and it just doesn't affect us. It affects the people around us and affects the character of our families. You know, first when people meet us, you know, they say, I can tell that he has no home training. That's already bringing shame to your family. And when your father parts wisdom into you, what he wants you to do with it is really apply it to your life. And when we don't apply it to our lives, and we go down the wrong path. Some things that people might say, man, well, this is just me. But some things that we do reflects the people around us, reflects the people that gave birth to us. So in all that we do, we should be able to make our parents proud and not to shame them. These things that are not the things that they taught us. You know, some people I know, you know, they say, well, I wouldn't do this if my mother was here or no, my father was here. Certain, we act a certain way once our parents are in the room. So when we realize and understand that, we should not want to bring shame to God. We should want us to bring nothing but glory. What do you think about that, Brother Anthony?
Just to chime off what you said, I feel like, you know, that in your family, like, you know, certain morals are instilled in you, and as you grow older, those things that, like, you never forget, like, you know, even like now today, you know, like simple things is like blessing the food. That's something that everybody I pretty much know does. Even after you eat, you'd be like, oh man, I forgot to say grace, you know. You got the blessed hands that prepared it or something, you know, certain stuff like that. It's like certain things that they tell you or, you know, that should be in you that you can notice in other people that don't have it. You can say, dang, you know, they don't know how to do this. Or like you said, you know, they ain't got no home training. They didn't do that the right way. You shame your family, you know. Sometimes it doesn't look good on you, and it looks worse on your family, you know, because then they look at your parents and they're like, you know, what happened? What did you do? You know, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. So that's what I think about that.
Amen, amen. Reverend Grimes, I get to chime in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's twofold. The parents, number one, it's their job to pour wisdom and knowledge and understanding into us. And then it's incumbent upon us to receive that knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and then and to act that out. And that's why, in a word, and I don't want to misquote it, where it says, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. Speaking of a fool, because even with all the knowledge, all the wisdom, understanding in the world, a fool, like you said earlier, is going to do what they want to do and be a fool. And you can't do nothing about that. But the effect that a fool has on his family, they see that he brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. And so, you know, parents are supposed to instill that. And then as children, we're supposed to go and we're supposed to walk out in the purpose and keep hold to the things and the traditions and the word of God that they have poured into us.
Amen. Looks like we done ran out of time. So anybody have any last words before we look to the Lord in prayer?
And I think, go ahead, brother.
Reverend Grimes.
Nah, man, powerful word today, man. Y'all did an excellent job this morning. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed it.
We're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you to say thank you. Thank you for all of the things, Father God, that you have done for us. We thank you, Father God, for all of the things that you're going to do for us, Father God. Father God, we want to say, Father God, bless everybody on this line, Father God. Everybody that, Father God, wanted to make it on the line but couldn't, Father God. We ask you, Father God, that you let your fresh anointing fall, Father God, on us right now, Father God. Be with us, Father God, in our church services, Father God. Help us, Father God, to transport from our church to our homes or whatever destination that we got to go to safe, Father God. Please build a pastor, Father God. Help him, Father God, in this time of need. Build him up, Father God, where he is weak, Father God. Help him, Father God, to stay true and stay faithful to you, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Hey, gentlemen, next week, man, you know, we from the heart of God.
All right. Everybody have a blessed day.